Good morning. It is good to be here. Didn't know if I would be here at all this, as we came through this week. I was been pretty much sick since Tuesday night. Didn't go to work for, missed 3 days of work this week. Imagine that. So I wasn't, didn't have that great of a week, but glad to be here. My family was great all week, and now as of last night, they're all getting sick. So I'm here by myself this morning. So, but it's quite interesting to the different perspective on life you get when you're, you know, not able to do much and you're feeling pretty miserable. So, but anyway, this morning we are in Colossians once again. Just before I start, if you signed your children up for the readathon, there is an envelope. You know, you should have one envelope per child. Like if you signed up two children, you should have two envelopes, and I put them in your mailbox downstairs in the mail slot downstairs. So if you sign your children up, look for one of these. If you need more or didn't, if they're missing or whatever, let us know. There's more available. So that's the deal on the readathon. All right, we're in Colossians. We're calling our study Mature in Christ. Our theme verse, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So the goal, again, I reiterate, is that we would all be mature in Christ, that we would grow up to become perfect. You know, not as in without fault, but have the goal of being complete in Jesus in all of our lives. You know, there's so many other things that we could substitute as we are Christians in our religious, many of us in our religious context, we can think of so many things that we could make goals in life that are not being perfect in Jesus or become mature in Christ. You know, you could fill in the blanks of all kinds of religious activity and godly content, if you will, that is not necessarily, you know, it may be part of being mature in Christ, but we need to have our focus on being a follower of Jesus in every detail of our life. The memory verse, and I'll be straight up with you guys, I did not memorize it this week. So, did anyone here memorize? There's three verses, it's a pretty big chunk. Did anyone memorize it? Okay, first of all, did anyone memorize it? Secondly, are you willing to just try and say it? That's the next question. It's one thing to memorize, it's the next thing to be willing to... Is there anyone that memorized it and is willing to try and say it this morning? Sister Laura, brave person to give it a try here.
That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all... riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Let's just say it together. All together, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. All right, next week, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, is the memory verse for next week. So that should be a little smaller portion, a little easier to memorize. We should have lots of people next week with that one completely down pat. We're in Colossians chapter 1. We are doing a section of verses in verses 9 to 14. And we've been kind of doing... about a verse a week, it seems. And last Sunday we got through verse 10, And we are ready for verse 11. So I think I'll just read the whole section here before we start. "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light and has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So we're particularly zeroing in on verse 11. And that's our first question as it relates to verse 11. We talked about all the other thoughts in our previous questions in verse 9 and 10. And we're ready for the thought in verse 11 where it says, "May be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might." So first of all, I want to tell you, we're a little smaller group this morning, so everyone, brothers, sisters, young people, old people, everyone should feel free to give thoughts and participate. You know, no one is excluded. Visitors, old-timers, everyone's allowed to talk here and give thoughts and share this morning. So I welcome your input. Do we have a volunteer to pray this morning as we begin our Bible study? That someone want to take the microphone and pray for our study this morning, that we would hear what God has for us? Can you volunteer? Brother Dwight. Do we have someone with the microphone? Yeah, Brother Ben. Good. Let's pray.
Yes, Lord, as we open your word this morning, we ask you, God, you would quiet our hearts that we could hear what the Spirit wants to minister to our hearts this day. And we just thank you for your word, Lord, and may these truths become reality in our lives, Lord, as we seek to please you day by day. So bless our time together, and Lord, we thank you that your presence can be with us, and we invite it more so, Lord, in our lives. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, now these questions that I have up here are just things that I thought of. These are trigger questions to try and stimulate your thinking. So it's not like this is the only thing we can talk about. So you're welcome to take it from there. But the first question I have is, how can we be strengthened with power? What does it mean to be strengthened with power? What strength are we talking about? This week when I was sick, you know, I didn't really have any strength. So I kind of needed being strengthened with power in a physical sense, right? When you're, you know, when you're laying down in bed and you can hardly have energy to get up, you know, it's like, I need some kind of power here, you know? So in a spiritual sense, what are we talking about? What is the power we're talking about? And how can we be strengthened with it? What is the source of power? We're talking that Paul is writing to Christians in Colossae, as we know. And his desire is that we strengthen with all power. So what power is he talking about? Brother Paul, don't be afraid. You got ideas, thoughts? Put your hand up. I'll start calling the names soon.
God's power.
God's
it
power.
It only comes from him, and especially through bad times, trying times.
It's the power of God that we need. Strengthened with all power. The power of Jesus Christ in our life, for sure. May you be strengthened with God's power. How do you and I access that power? What happens? What do I have to do, or how do I become strengthened with that power? Like he just says, may you be strengthened with power. So how does that become reality? Become something that I experience, Brother Ray?
By seeing a need and humbling ourselves, becoming weak in ourselves.
So recognizing my need, be humbling myself, recognizing that I need power, that I don't have power on my own. Amen. Amen. Doesn't that seem a bit backwards, though? Doesn't that seem, from a normal physical perspective, doesn't it seem like, you know, that I will get power and be strengthened by power by humbling myself, by becoming needy? That's what he just said. You just become needy. Isn't that a bit backwards? All right.
It does seem a bit backwards, maybe, but somewhere in Corinthians it says that God's foolishness is stronger than man's strength. So
Amen. That's right. See, physically speaking, it doesn't make sense, right? Really, because but the experience God's power. We need to become dependent on Him. You know, God is strong when I am weak. When I realize that I can't do it on my own. And how many of us have figured that out? That we can't do it. Have you figured that out yet? That it's. I mean, if it's up to me, it's going to crumble and collapse. But by God's power. Somebody had their hand up. Loretta.
The thought that you were just talking about here is. The emptier the bucket is of myself, the more there's God that can be in it, or the whatever there is, the less I have of myself in my container, the more there can be God in it. That's what is in there of God that is much stronger than that is able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. And in Isaiah 40, answering that question, how can you and I be strengthened with all power? Someone said the power of God. I would add to that, which is the same thing, the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he says in Isaiah 40, he says, He giveth power to the faint. You know, he doesn't give power to the strong. Mm-hmm. He gives power to the faint. Mm-hmm. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. And then he says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. So he gives us an example of something, you know, the strength of youth. Mm-hmm. See, young people never get tired. Even the youth shall faint. And so you take what would be an example of strength, human strength. Even that is going to fail and fall. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait, and here he tells us how can you and I be strengthened? He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So he says, they that wait upon the Lord.
Wait upon the Lord. Brother Ray, go ahead.
I have a technical question on that, wait upon the Lord, I guess. Does that mean you wait on Him to renew you? Or does it mean you wait on Him the way a waitress would wait on us if we want to eat? Do you get what I'm asking?
Yeah, so Ray is wanting a technical definition of what wait means. Wait as in sit down, cross your legs, and wait for something to happen. Or wait as in actively doing something. Is that what you're asking? Basically, what does wait mean? So the word is spelled W-A-I-T, wait on the Lord. So what does that mean? Anyone know? Brother Dwight.
I think about it in the way that you're looking to Him for your source of strength, for your source of power. I'm not waiting on myself. I'm not waiting on someone else. I'm not waiting on but I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm simply looking to the Lord, believing that He's the one that gives me this strength, recognizing my utter need and dependence from Him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I need. What it takes for me to prosper, to have this power. And so then I wait on him, right? But seeking Him, mm-hmm. looking to Him, mm-hmm. Calling upon Him. He tells us about the knock, the seek, and the ask, you know, and keep on knocking, keep on seeking. I'm waiting on the Lord, right? I'm looking to Him.
Brother Randall?
I would always have thought it would be something like this. I'd be doing, or the ladies are doing this when it comes Saturday and they're going to have visitors for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Then they're waiting, but they're not sitting down, they're working real hard.
Right, right. So when you're preparing for company on Saturday, you're waiting, but it's not a passive word. So the waiting that we're talking about means waiting, like it's waiting on the Lord as in looking to the future for something to happen, but yet it's not a passive word as in I'm not doing anything. Is that what we're getting from this? It's a action word. There's things that you and I are doing. And the brothers have talked about some of those things, you know, the things of, seeking the Lord. You know, Jesus talked about knocking, seeking, knocking, pursuing God, pursuing the things of God, while we're waiting. Any other thoughts? Any other? I'm going to jump in there with something else. Does that make sense, Ray? Or you have any thoughts on that?
I always looked at that as saying to actually wait, maybe almost in a passive sense. And I think maybe there isn't a hard and fast rule on what exactly that wait means, because I'm very much inclined to try and work my way out of a dry spell, you know, mm-hmm. Tell myself I need to do this and I need to do that, and usually it increases the dry spell. So personally, I see that verse as saying to wait on the Lord to strengthen you, not to just do nothing, I guess, mm-hmm. but to wait on Him, not to run ahead of Him, but to wait on Him.
See that I think the key isn't there a key here though of hearing from God. Hearing from God. See, you know, there's extremes. One extreme is to be so busy doing things that maybe aren't even God's plan, but we're just got to do something, so we're just doing and doing and doing, and we have no time to wait on God and hear from Him. The other extreme is to just sit down on our hands and say, well, you know, I'm waiting on God. You know, there's lots of things to do. There's lots of ministry I could be involved in. There's lots of activities that I could do that we know are God's will, but I'm waiting on God to, you know, show up or do something or... Is there two extremes like that? Does that make sense? Brother Gary. Over here.
Oh, just thought came to me, if waiting on the Lord isn't waiting on the Lord and having a peace about our activities.
Having peace about, you know, what's happening now, like what we're doing for the Lord in the... Mm-hmm, yeah, I think so. There's a peace of peace of resting. Yeah. Oh, Brother Ivan here, or yes. Steve is bringing up.
When it says waiting on the Lord, when we wait on something, we expect something. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, if we wait on the Lord, we're trusting the Lord. Mm-hmm. And if we trust the Lord, we will receive strength. Mm-hmm. Maybe mm-hmm. that's also something mm-hmm. to...
Trusting. Waiting with expectancy. You know, there's a waiting that you and I can do that is despairing, right? You know, you ever experienced that? You're waiting on something, but the tow truck hasn't come for an hour, and it's 2 hours, and it's 3 hours, and pretty soon your waiting becomes to despair, right? Whereas our waiting on God needs to have expectancy. It's not if, it's when, it's how, it's the circumstances. But it's not despairing. And that's what I was saying, you know, trusting, having that expectancy of trust that God is there and He will come through for us. Amen. Anyone else? Next question is very closely related. What is the purpose? Maybe we already discussed this, but what is the purpose of being strengthened in your life, in my life? What is the purpose? Is the purpose just to, you know, make me a superhero and all about me? Or is there a bigger purpose in this? I thought as we were discussing, I thought a little bit of it as we were discussing the first question. What is the purpose? Well, Dwight?
I'm not sure if I heard everything you were asking there, but looking at the question, what is the purpose of being strengthened? You know, it's to, for me, I look at it, I need the strength to endure to the end, to complete the work that Christ called me to, you know, to simply be faithful, to be faithful.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And I think we could, you could take that you know, purpose to, you know, personally, like Brother White shared, you know, for me to have endurance, to make it, to, you know, run the race successfully in our walk with Christ. You could take it to a big picture sense of purpose, that God's purpose of giving, of strengthening us is for His glory, right? You know, the whole purpose of the story. The human story is for God's glory, isn't it? You know, his glory is revealed in you and I. And as we are weak and beggarly, have no power, no strength, and we look to Him in our need and He strengthens us, you know, He gets glory in that. It's for His glory. You know, when I think of, you know, all the strength with His power, it's, you know, He delights. He absolutely delights. And your need and my need, you know. By James says, God resists the proud. If we have a proud, arrogant spirit, God will not, He resists us. If we have a humble spirit, a needy spirit, realizing how needy I am, He is there to help us. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, I did not come to save the healthy people, the people that are, they're well and they're doing great. So they don't need me. But the people that are sick and needy, that have needs, and they know it, I came for those people. You know, and who gets the glory in those situations? It's about the glory of God through the life of Jesus. Any other discussion or thoughts on this purpose of us, of you and I being strengthened with the power of God?
I guess some weeks ago when you first put this out, I looked at it and I write down some thoughts I had here, and I had to endure to the end, to mature, to have patience and joy in all circumstances, situations, and happening. And as we mature in Christ as a follower of Him, we are able to more and more see hardship from an eternal perspective and endure as our Master did. And the verse in Hebrews 12:2 tells us how Jesus, with patience and joy, because of the joy that was set before Him, how He endured the cross. And He was seeing it. The strength we get from God, from the Lord, helps us to see things from an eternal perspective and to endure to the end, which brings glory to God.
Yeah, it's you know, about God strengthening my mouth. It's about God strengthening us, you know, in our weakness and for endurance. The end of the verse 11, according strengthening with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. You know, the endurance. Do you need endurance? And patience, you know, these are the key ingredients that you and I need every day to keep in the race, to keep going forward one step at a time, according to His glorious might. It's not just a little dose of power. It's not just barely enough. His glorious might. It's everything that you and I need to make it through every day. Let's move on to verse 12, unless there's someone else with another thought on verse 11. What is, it says, this is one seamless thought here, or sentence, you could say. So we start with strength with all power, by his glorious might, for endurance and patience, giving thanks to the Father. Now we're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What is the inheritance of the saints in light? So we're he has given us the power to endure, to run with patience, and now he says, give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. What exactly is that, and how are you qualified for that? You guys got it, so you should know what it is. Anyone know what? Okay, so let's break this down. So, what's an inheritance? Do we know what that is, first of all? I think it's word by word. Is an inheritance something you have received or you hope to receive? It's actually both, isn't it? So, yeah, you ever hear someone talk about, you know, someday when I get my inheritance money, I'll do this. Ever hear someone talk about that? They're streaming. Something you haven't worked for. Gary says it's something you haven't worked for. That's actually pretty good. I hadn't thought of that. Something you haven't worked for. It is. It's true. So, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in something you haven't worked for. Is that right? The saints in light. So what are saints? We figure the inheritance is something you could say valuable because it's desirable, right? So it's something valuable you haven't worked for, given to you as a gift. That's an inheritance. And the saints, the inheritance of the saints in light. What does it? Someone have the authorized version? What's it say? What's it say in the King James? And we have the end of that verse. Does it say the inheritance of the saints in light? I don't have. We're dropping the mic. Read that verse in the King James, please. You might give us a little more.
Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Some of my further thoughts on that, if you just fast forward in Colossians, in just addressing that question. How did you put that? What has qualified us, or how are we qualified? Mm-hmm. Well, he says, further on in Colossians, he says, actually in verse Colossians 1, verse 22, I guess we'll still get to there, mm-hmm. But he says, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Mm-hmm. So what qualifies us to be inheritance? Or what qualifies us to the inheritance of the saints, the one who has, he says in verse 14, in whom we have received redemption through his blood. I thought it was interesting, Jeremy, that your version doesn't say through his blood. Is that just, is there other versions that also say that, or is only the King James? Just a question there that...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But he said, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So I think he's explaining to us how we qualify to the inheritance. It's through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And because of that, through his blood, he's going to present us holy and unblameable and irreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, so as we are in Christ, as we continue in Christ, we will qualify for the inheritance.
Yes, that's right. It's through the blood of Christ. It's through Jesus Christ that you and I are qualified as sons and daughters. You know, we are brought into the family, and it's who in an earthly sense. excuse me, Brother Alvin got his hand up front, so it's in an earthly sense, who qualifies for an inheritance? Sons, daughters, right? You know, children. And in a physical sense, it's we qualify to be sons and daughters by the salvation provided by the blood of Jesus. And that's how we, you know, that's the qualification. Yeah, Brother Alvin?
And that's what I was going to say. Okay, there are a lot of inheritances out there, but I have no right to most of them. There's not many that I have a right to. But He has given us a right. He said, you were in the kingdom of darkness. Mm-hmm. And when you live in darkness long enough, the light is wonderful. And mm-hmm. it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. We're, mm-hmm. He is, the Father here has made it possible. The one who has the power and the authority to keep us in darkness, to cast us into hell. Mm-hmm. He has the power and the authority to take us out of the power of darkness, from the power of darkness, and translate us into the kingdom of His own dear Son. Mm-hmm. And that's light. That's where we walk in the light. We live, get to live in the light. Mm-hmm. And we know the difference between walking in darkness and the fear and the dread and the bitterness and the, you name it, mm-hmm. and getting into light.
Amen. Amen. And this is really an amazing situation, really. Think about these. This is Colossae, after all. We learned about Colossae way back in the beginning, that it's basically a pagan city. And these Christians were basically from pagan background. They were not Jewish believers. These were not godly people, per se. These were people that were from a pagan background that had come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ through the gospel and had gotten saved and were now meeting together, worshiping Jesus. And so for Paul to write to them these things about how they had been qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light was this was amazing words for them to live out and to realize in their own lives. And you know, you and I are qualified by Jesus Christ, by His blood, for the inheritance. And you know, sometimes, you know, I've said this before, but I don't think we should get tired of saying it, that you know, you and I get used to it sometimes because a lot of us grew up in a Christian home or some kind of religious background where we got used to the idea that we're good people, right? You grow up thinking you're a good person, sort of. You know, I always went to church and, you know, was kind. I got taught to be kind and saying Jesus loves me and all the we grew up with this context, and we don't realize that we are all separated from God by this great problem of sin, right? And you know, and we need to realize that the sin that separates me from God is the same as the heathen people of Africa or some tribe that has never heard about Jesus. It's the same, you know, or a criminal. It's the same. We all have the same separation. You see, and so to be qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light is amazing. It's an amazing thing, and you know, we need to be thankful. That's why he says, giving thanks to the Father. We have that spirit of thankfulness in our hearts, continually. Or just wrapping up, this is the last question. Actually, this week we are going to get through our study in these verses, I think, unless we think we should revisit the end of it a little more. But just continuing on the same vein of thought, how can you and I keep our salvation or you know, deliverance and redemption described in verses 13 and 14 fresh and real in our everyday lives? So that thankfulness, the salvation that you know, there was a song by Charles Wesley talks about the joy of a soul in its earliest love or something like that. You know, when you first come from, you realize your sin, you come to Christ, you get born again, that ecstatic joy, that deliverance, it's so close, it's so precious, it's so personal. But you know, you've been a Christian for 5 years, for 10 years, and it becomes a little, what did you just say, a little bit normal, you'd say? You know, you kind of forget about that dramatic transaction. How do you and I live with a life of thankfulness to the Father? We read in verse 12. And have that reality of the great deliverance that we have been that happened in my life. How do we keep that real and personal and precious day by day? You know, Monday morning and Wednesday afternoon. Brother Jonathan and then Brother Ray. Doesn't matter. Jonathan has his hand. It doesn't matter. Draw those hand up first.
Well, maybe it sounds like I'm repeating what you said already, but I think being thankful, I just want to emphasize that because we need to purposely contemplate and think about and reflect on our deliverance. You know, even as the children of Israel, the purpose of the Passover was, keeping on with the Passover, was to remind their children and their children's children of their deliverance from Egypt. So every year when they celebrated the Passover, it was rekindling and renewing that thankfulness and remembering and bringing to their mind again how God had delivered them from Egypt. So I would say, first of all, would be cultivating a spirit of thankfulness to the Lord for our salvation, and then following that Passover thought, you know, come to communion service. That's what we're doing. You know, we are, even though it shouldn't be limited to that, and yet every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are bringing to our mind again our deliverance from sin and our salvation. We're celebrating that.
Amen. Amen. All right.
I didn't realize I asked to speak, but I must have made my hand score
or
something.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I do. I've been thinking. to keep it fresh, Ephesians says something that I think fits in well. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. To keep it fresh and real, there's no way to do that without heeding or obeying the Spirit's direction. And I also... it's probably not the same for everyone, but it almost seems like an oxymoron. You look into yourself, and we need to be thankful for what God has done for us. I completely agree with that. But I don't find in my own life, at least, that it's... If you focus on being thankful, you can somewhat conjure up a thankfulness. But I find it's much more when you actually go out into the warfare where you desperately need Jesus, you desperately need the Spirit to lead you. You know before you even start that you're going to lose if you don't heed the Spirit, if you don't have the sword of the Spirit. So to keep it fresh and real in our everyday lives, I think we need to live on the edge.
Amen. Amen. Live on the edge. I like that. Brother Rayo.
I believe that we all are very far away from doing what Jesus did here on this world. And after 10 years of daily dying to myself, I think I wouldn't have catched up with Jesus Christ. And if I am able to die daily to a new thought or to a new circumstance that was brought to Christ to me to enlighten myself or to renew my mind, I believe it stays very fresh in our hearts every day as we grow or as we are getting more sanctified from day to day. And if we do not find new life, or if we do not get more understanding or enlightened in different areas, then we do get stale. I don't think that that's what should happen in our Christian walk. I think there should be always something new, like, there's more light now. And I think that should be real and fresh to us. I personally believe it should be daily, but I'm short on it. But if we are enlightened, it's as much of a miracle if I am enlightened today than if I can be enlightened and get born again the first day.
So the real and fresh is the daily walk with Christ. That you know, just, you know, every new step keeps it real and fresh. It's a living, growing relationship. I appreciate that. That's so much. You know, another thing I thought of is we in our humanness tend to take credit to ourselves. So God's working in my life, God's changing me, God's, you know, changing you, advancing you, you're growing, and you feel good about it. You can see the progress. And what happens? We start taking the credit to myself. It's not me doing it. It's God's working in me, right? And I start taking credit to myself, and I start having we call it a holier-than-thou attitude towards other people, right? A self-righteous spirit. And that is an enemy of having a genuine thankfulness in my heart to God for what he has done. You know, and that's something I think that we need to be aware of. that I need to be aware of in my own life, that I keep that thankfulness to God so fresh and so real, that relationship so alive, that there's no room to look down on anyone else with myself being a little more righteous, because we're all the same. You know, maybe some of us are a little farther along the road because God is working in our life, but you know, for a Christian to have a condescending attitude towards an unbeliever or someone is, you know, we need to reach everyone with love and compassion. And there's no room in the follower of Jesus to have this arrogant spirit. And I think that's another way that we can have this, you keep that, the power of Christ, you know, the what He's done in my life fresh and real. All right, I think we've got to stop. Time has run out. Anyone else? Any other thoughts you want to quickly add before we stop for this week? Brother Reynolds.
I would quickly like to add here something that if there's such a thing as we can easily get born again, like we grew up Christians, family, we were nice, and then we get born again and we live on. I'd just like to say this to myself, that I could be enlightened in this myself, that is, if I can be easily born again, then somebody out there could too. I've been always thinking about those people out there, they are having such a hard time to get born again. If they do, they are real Christians, right? And then I have a hard time to be a real Christian because I was getting born again so easy. But if I'm switching it around, if I can get born again easy, then they should be as well. I mean, the new birth isn't that heavy.
Yeah, amen, amen. Having a proper perspective, you know, having a proper perspective of myself and not have, amen. Anyone else? Yeah,
for the
right.
Not really continuing the discussion here, but I thought I could maybe answer the question about Jonathan asked, or thought it was interesting that your version didn't have the way it reads in the King James, and in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I think it is, in fact, only the King James who renders it that way. Maybe the New King James, most other versions that I find trustworthy, will say, in whom we have redemption through His Son, even the forgiveness of sin.
Oh, I see. I don't even think it's in my... usually when they make a change like that, or they do the translation different, I see a... which verse is that? Verse 22? 14. I don't think, sometimes they give a little footnote. I don't see the footnote right offhand here. But anything else? Anyone else? Oh.
I have a little thought.
There's a microphone right behind you.
Okay, just a little thought. If you go into 15, 16, 17, 18, he talks, it struck me that almost switched thoughts, but he's talking about the maturity. There is, if you take creation, for example, if you take Christ out of creation, you have what you have. You have nothing. It would just disintegrate and fall apart. You take Christ out of the Christian, you would be nothing. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, 15, 16, 17, it's by Him. He is. By Him. He is. Who is? He might. Who is? It's Christ, 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 Christ. Preeminent everywhere and everything.
Yeah, amen. And that takes us to... go ahead.
The children of Israel often gave us examples to live by. Mm-hmm. When they were in the wilderness, they forgot about the bondage of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And they felt that their times in Egypt, the good food that they had and all that, was better than what they had now when they were free.
Yeah.
If we forget the bondage of guilt that we had before we were converted and we're going through our wilderness in our Christian life, we're going to think that life was better before we were saved.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. For remembering the darkness, remembering, you know, there's nothing more vivid to bring us to a freshness, to a realness in our walk with God than to remember and to know where I was, and to realize that it's only a few steps backwards. You know, there's none of us, you know, are exempt from being ensnared in bondage again. And so I think keeping that fresh in mind is a very key to having our deliverance precious and real to us. Anyone else? I don't want to cut anyone out. Anyone else? Okay. Next week, we are going to start, and I'll send you an email again this week, but we'll probably be looking at verses 15 to 20, something like that. We're starting in verse 15 under the heading, My Bible Says, The Preeminence of Christ. It's verses that exalt, like Brother Alvin just shared, exalt Jesus Christ, exemplify Him, who He is, and in His greatness in our lives and the life of the church. Thank you so much for your participation this morning. I really enjoyed our discussion and look forward to it again next week.